Today is December 16th, 2006, and you are listening to episode number 52 of Bits of Bryn. This is Bryn. Tell you the truth, I am so not happy to be doing a podcast right now. I have been dreading this microphone for 2 weeks. I have a little secret to tell you. On my last show, I interviewed Amy for FYE because we were doing a gig together. What I didn't tell you was that I also interviewed a boy band. It's a local band called Bitter End. And that interview didn't end up on the show because I forgot to turn the camcorder on while I was interviewing them. Well, as you know, last Wednesday I interviewed Ryan Shoup in the Rubber Band. It was an amazing interview. I really got along with all of the band members. We were talking for 10-15 minutes, and it was really a fabulous interview. They gave me so many insights on how they made it and fun things that they all do together. It was just a complete blast interviewing them. I was able to goof around. I had never had so much fun during an interview. And I was able to see the concert for free. It was absolutely perfect, and I got it excused. It was an excused absence from my school. I got to go to a free concert and interview a band. How cool was that? I was on cloud nine. So happy, and I couldn't wait to put it on the show. Well, I got home, and I discovered to my horror that the camcorder had turned off during the interview. I couldn't believe it. I've been completely depressed and deflated for the past little while, and I've been absolutely terrified of this podcast. But my dad, when I was moping around, wishing that, oh my goodness, I was completely put out by the fact that this interview hadn't been recorded. He told me to write down all of the questions that I asked and all of their answers. And so I have everything here. So I'll have to do my best of reenacting this interview. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I think of all their answers in between. The first question that I asked the band was how they all met up and formed the Rubber Band. And Ryan Shoup and Colin Miner told me almost simultaneously, Scout Trip. And they started telling me this story about how all five of them were on a rafting trip together a few years ago, and a rogue current got underneath their raft and tore it apart. And Ryan Tilby was able to pull them all to safety, and so they formed a band. It turns out they were just pulling my leg. It was a bunch of bunk. They were being really silly. I had a lot of fun with them. They were just joking around left and right. They're really, really funny. They have all met up throughout the years at different performances because the venues around their area were, all the performers were tight-knit, and so everybody knew everybody. I thought it was so much fun that they were so silly and laid back about the interview. It made them seem more real to me, and I had an easier time playing around with them and being myself around them because of their goofy personalities. The next question that I asked them was how long they had been playing their instruments. And Ryan Tilby, he's the bass guitarist, he said that he'd been playing for decades. I teased him about being 6 or 7 decades old, and I told him he looked pretty good for his age. But Ryan Shoup said that he'd been playing the fiddle since he was 5 years old, and he's in his mid-20s now. And Craig and Bart and Roger, they told me that they'd all been playing since they were 11 or 12. And I'm 14. And I can't play an instrument very well. I can play the recorder. I can play the penny whistle. But I'm not exceptionally talented either. And I can play the guitar. But it's not something that I'd want to flaunt because I know that I'm not very good. I'm dreadful at the guitar. I cannot strum worth beans. I can't do it. My rhythm is so dreadful. Truly, truly. And all of these people, all of the band members had been playing since they were children. And it just made me think, oh dear, my time is running out. I can't play an instrument very well. I need to get started now. And so later that night, I was talking with my mother about how we could plan in guitar lessons and 7 hours of guitar practice a week. I'm starting that tomorrow because it's the start of a new week. It'll be Sunday. But I asked them what they sacrificed to become a musician, because I was talking to my science teacher the other day, and we were talking about careers, and he said that musicians have to sacrifice having a family because of the such a demanding lifestyle. But all of the band members, they had their wives and their children there, except for Craig, because he is unmarried. But Ryan said that he sacrificed not having fun to become a musician. And he was being really silly, but it actually was really profound to me, because I don't have fun when I play my guitar. I think of it as labor. It's so hard for me, and so I avoid it. And consequently, I'm not practicing and I'm not improving. And so I'm still dreadful. Roger, he said that he took guitar lessons for 4 years and he sacrificed having friends in high school because he spent all of his time practicing the guitar. It was his love. And it made me think about all the extracurricular activities that I'm doing and how little time I spend practicing. Last Saturday, I spent all day long with two of my friends at Westminster College, and I was with them from 7 a.m. until 3, 4 p.m., and, you know, even though I was doing that for community service hours for my high school, that's still all that time that I was spending not on my instruments, and I want to be a musician, so I had to make sacrifices. I need to spend quality time practicing so I can grow. And Roger is a phenomenal guitarist. And he has great friends within the band now. And so it was worth it for him. And it'd be worth sacrificing those extra things so I can grow as a musician and have fun with my music. Because I'll know how to play and it won't be so scary. Craig, he said that he practiced 3 to 5 hours a day when he first learned to play. They were also dedicated when they were my age. And I realized I am not committed to learn music. I really want to organize my time better so I can grow as a musician instead of living a normal high school student's life. I asked them how they fit their family into their careers too. Because of what my teacher said the other day, family takes the back burner. Craig was the only unmarried member of the group, so he said he just had to call up his mom and say he had a gig that night. But the rest of them, they said that they would take their family on tour so they could always be together. They signed with Capitol Records a few years ago, and I asked them how their lives had changed since they signed their names on the dotted line because they had managed their career independently before that. The drummer, Bart Olson, he joked that their lives had become one big party after they signed with Capitol Records. Because before, they had to do it all by themselves. I asked them how they did it, and Ryan Shoup said, not very well. And they talked about how they were their own personal staff, their personal chef, their personal stylist, managers, and roadies. But I was amazed. Even though they were saying that they did a terrible job of managing their career without the record label, I was amazed because they just packed their bags and hit the road to sing. Leaving your world, your home, your life to go find a new one with your guitar and your fiddle is a big sacrifice. It's amazing. I asked them the sort of venues that they performed at before they made it, because all the country venues in Utah consist of bars, and I don't want to go to a bar. They said that they decided early on in their career that the club scene wasn't for them, and I really respected them for that because it's easy to just go in there and take advantage of everybody that's drunk and they'll give you really big tips. But instead, they said that they booked gigs at festivals, colleges, and fairs when they were on the road. And eventually, a radio station representative hooked them up in Nashville with the right chain of people that led to Capitol Records. But because I'm really smart and I press record, I remember what those people were. Oh, I'm so mad at myself. Anyway, Craig, he's the mandolin player. He said that in their appointment with Capitol Records, they got the contract right away because they were ready before they ever walked into the studio. And it was because they were songwriters, producers, and studio musicians. It was because of that they got the deal. If they hadn't been musicians who could write and play, they probably wouldn't have gotten the contract. The fact that they were songwriters chasing their dreams with their instruments beforehand was the sole reason that they landed it, because writing your own music is so crucial in this industry. Unless you write your own music, you're just a face. And you cannot be just a face. Everybody has one. You have to have something more to offer. And so these five incredibly talented men, they had their own music and their own instruments and they had their own sound and they were already a package. All they had to do was sign their name on the line, bang it out in the studio, and put it on the stands. The record label didn't have to do anything to tweak them out because they were already prepared. And I just think that's amazing. They were so ready for that interview. I'm not ready for that. I wrote another song 2 days ago, and I am 8 lines away from finishing another one and a verse away from finishing another one. I'm writing a few simultaneously right now. But right now, I can't play my guitar. I can't play a fiddle. I can't play a mandolin. I can't accompany myself and actually seem impressive. And I don't have enough music to actually have a repertoire for at least a full track CD, if not a concert. They have so much music. All they had to do was walk in and say, "Hey, look, we're amazing." Because it's true. They were. I asked Ryan how they would write songs together. I didn't know if there was a primary songwriter or if everybody would pitch in. He said that he was the primary songwriter. He would write all the lyrics and the melodies, and the other musicians in the band would compose the arrangements. And I don't know if any of you here in Utah turned into FM 100 Sunday night at 6:30, I think, when they played the performance. Their arrangements for all the Christmas songs were so original. They turned Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer into this Beach Boys. It was so silly. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. They completely turned it into this fun, funky song. And they're just so original and unique. And I commend them for always sticking true to who they are and never compromising their sound. I asked them how they juggled writing new music while on tour performing their old stuff, and Ryan said that they would write between shows, and the way that they would make sure that their music was good enough to put on the next album was they would infiltrate the new music into their tours to test it on an audience to see if it was worth keeping for the next album. I think that's really smart. I don't know why that never occurred to me, but that seems like a really smart way of making sure that your music will always be a hit. Oh, they were so fun and animated. It was such a great interview. What a shame I forgot to press record. You know, it really was a good interview, and even though I didn't record it, it was still completely worth it because I learned so much from them. They're all in their 20s, 30s, and they're definitely many steps ahead of me, but talking to them when they've already gone through all those steps, having them go back, and they told me that I really should practice, and it'd be completely worth it, and I'd really benefit from practicing, because then I'll be able to make good music. You know, it means so much coming from someone who's already made it, telling you can do it, just start now and everything will be fine. And I'm mad at myself because I've been such a procrastinator. Oh, and I haven't been playing my guitar or writing music enough. I'm getting better right now. I've got so many projects going on. But still, because of that interview, I think that it's really galvanizing determination in me to organize myself better so that way I can take advantage of these years when I'm younger. I need to prove that youth isn't wasted on the young, and I'm not going to do that by having fun talking on the phone every Saturday instead of trying to learn to play my guitar. It was a really good interview, and they had some really great things to say. I hope I was able to convey how wonderful it was. Oh, I feel really dumb for not pressing record. Oh, I'll probably get over it soon. This 30-second clip is a live performance of their song Dream Big. This is my favorite song of theirs, and I recorded this little clip for you. I hope that you'll enjoy it. If you'd like to hear more of their music, you can hear it at ryanshupe.net. That's ryanshupe.net. There's a link accessible in the iTunes Enhanced version of this podcast. And when you pray for strength, that you have you carry on. When the troubles come your way. When you I talked to Ryan Shoup's father, Ted Shoup, and he owns a venue. It's called The Circuit, and he's going to be doing a 5-month battle of the bands, and there's a vocal section. I'm thinking of maybe trying it out, and perhaps I could get Ted Shoup on this podcast. I haven't talked to him about it yet, and if I get him to say yes, he's a very kind man. He probably will agree. I'll be sure to press record. The song of the week is Why Haven't I Heard From You by Reba McEntire. I know you guys have heard this song before, but I have never done an official studio recording of this song. I think I'm really coming into my own with this one. It's written in a great range for me, and I'm able to play around with the melody, do some jazz runs and things. I'm trying to come into my own sound. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be yet, because I'm torn between so many different sounds. I love bluegrass music, and I love how soft and beautiful it is, and then when the boys and girls do harmony together, the texture is just so beautiful. Oh, it just breaks your heart. I love that. But then there's the sassy songs, like this one, Why Haven't I Heard From You? They're real tough girl power songs that are real fun to sing, and I love jazz music too. And I want to incorporate a bit of jazz into country because no one's done that before. But I think I need to find a happy medium between all of them. And I haven't found it yet, but I will definitely. And I'd love to hear from you. How do you think I'm doing? Do you like what I'm doing with my voice? Is there something you'd like that you think would be better? I have been getting more emails this week, and I still have to respond to a few more. And I'd love to thank every single one of you for staying subscribed to my podcast. I love the fact that you guys actually care about what I have to say and what I have to sing. And I hope you'll enjoy this song.